Welcome to You Never Know Who You're Inspiring podcast with Paul Napoli and Tim Ellis. We are so glad you're here with us. Thanks for tuning in. It's day 56 of the quarantine. Everybody's been home. Kids have been homed. And it is also National Mental Health Awareness Month. So this week, with everything that's going on, we have two guests on the show, Stacy Green from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and Gail Mallory, who is a licensed master social worker who works within the school districts here in our community and also at our hospitals in CPEP. So sit back and enjoy. This is going to be an awesome conversation. And here we go.
You know what spreads faster than any virus? It's fear. And when it comes to fear, you can either forget everything and run. I said, or you can face everything and rise. I believe. And let me tell you what I believe. I believe that. I believe we're going to face everything and rise. I believe that we will win.
I'm loving this.
This is a good one.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. Second week in a row, we got a little walkout music, Pitbull, a little I Believe. Gail's with us, Stacy's with us. What's up, guys?
Hey.
All right, enough of that. I love that song.
Is that new?
I think it's new.
Does anybody know that new song?
That
was
I don't know. Anyway,
can you text me that?
Yeah, well, I love that song.
That'd be nice to hit the bags.
That was great.
You are not kidding. So what's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. Listen, we got a lot to talk about. First, let's show some appreciation like we always do. It's a fun week of appreciation. It's Mom's Weekend, man. It's Mother's Day weekend. So a huge shout out to all the mothers out there for being amazing, loving, strong, helpful. They are teachers. They are healers. They are just absolutely amazing. We have two moms on the show with us tonight. Just love it, man. A huge appreciation to all the moms out there. And thank you for just always being amazing and awesome. We love you.
Thanks.
That's super sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else want to add anything? Shout out to your mom.
That was great. That was great. Well, shout out to my mom. Yeah, we can shout out to my mom. Shout out to my mom. Shout out to my wife. Shout out to all the moms. It's crazy because as if the moms didn't have enough going on. I mean, moms and dads too, but you're talking about moms specifically. And let's throw in, you said 56 days of lockdown. You counted that out? I like it.
Counted it out. And that was since my kid's been home.
Right. That's insane. So as if the moms don't have enough to have on their plate now, they've got the stresses of the lockdown and the stresses of the kids being home and homeschooling and all that. And then let's add in for the dads here. Talk about tough, man. Normally the kids make their Mother's Day gift right at school. I mean, what the hell am I going to do?
Right. Yeah. And moms need some extra love this weekend. So man. You got like 3 days.
This is going to be tough.
Paul, like seriously, what is like, it is a tough year for trying to figure out what's going to be the best Mother's Day gift this year. Because things are closed. It's weird. You can't get, things aren't easily accessible. You got to think hard. You got to be creative this year, Paul.
I know. I'm plant a flower.
Super creative.
You can't order Amazon.
I know. It's already too late.
I'm seriously struggling with this.
If either of you two have any ideas, let us know.
Yes, please let us know. And I'll just let you know, I am sitting in on a webinar tomorrow.
About Mother's Day?
About about the perfect Mother's Day gift.
Oh.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, I'll send you the link.
Did you pay for this webinar?
No. It's a group of dads. It's a group of dads that get together. They're awesome. They're called Front Row Dads, right?
Okay.
And they have their own podcast and everything. And they're like, man, if you're struggling because Mother's Day is just, everything's crazy right now, we're doing a 15, 20 minute webinar and we're just going to put out some ideas to each other. So it's tomorrow. I'll send you the link.
I like it. Send me the link.
I'll send you a link.
You should do it.
I always have a rule that on Mother's Day, I do not have to cook or clean or do any sort of laundry. That's like huge for me. And I also get my self-care time like all to myself without being interrupted. Like nobody is allowed, like my husband has to man the children for that many minutes.
Just one day he has to do that?
I was just going to say that. I didn't want, I'm glad you said it.
Okay. You're awesome if that's the case.
Like I'm talking like 30 minutes. I just need 30 minutes. I'm
not even
to
the
my
full
kids.
Day?
Just no, 30 minutes? Like, I just want 30 minutes. Like if I want to sit and read my book, I don't want kids to ask me for a drink or ask me if, like, what's to eat or can you do this? Can you get me that? Nothing.
Just 30 minutes.
Wow.
You should have that every day, by the way.
I should, but it doesn't. It just doesn't.
Everybody
happen,
should have that every day.
On Mother's Day, that's my rule.
But schedule that into your day. Like, seriously, that's got to be part of.
I schedule self-care. It's just often will get, you know, my 30 minutes will get eaten into.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot harder right now because self-care is at home now. Like, if you think about your workout is in the living room or whatever, in the basement, wherever it is, that's normally your self-care and you can't even get out for that. Now you got to do it at home.
Right.
So I guess just lock the kids in a room, do what you got to do.
Yeah, definitely. Also this week, another appreciation to our nurses. It was National Nurses Day the other day, Paul.
Man, I didn't know that.
Paul.
Good thing I texted your wife then.
Did you? It is a good thing.
I did. Yeah.
Nurses are the backbone of the medical care structure, and we are seeing this more than ever right now, Paul.
Let me tell you this. So here's the thing. I don't want to say I don't celebrate because I do.
I know you don't.
But I am always appreciative of everybody. Not of everybody.
You
people.
Are.
I'm appreciative of my wife. You know, I don't just do things on Mother's Day. I don't just do things on Valentine's Day. I don't wait for Nurses Week to tell her, holy crap, you're amazing. Like, she hears it every single day of her life. So maybe I'll give her an extra one today. I'll let her know
do
one
it for
extra
us.
Time.
Tell her it's coming from all of us.
There we go. I will.
Because they are going through, this is the fight.
Oh, it's insane.
This is a fight that they're up against right now. I mean, every day they walk into that hospital, they're putting their lives on the line. It's crazy. You're working in the hospital. It's attached to the hospital. CPAP, it's in the hospital.
Oh yeah. It's right above the emergency room.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just shout out to all the nurses out there. Just incredible. We appreciate you and everything that you do. And that's it, man. All right. What are we talking about this week? National Mental Health Awareness Month. So let's start with Stacy. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
So, Stacy, give us your background.
So, I started working, doing some stuff with mental health probably about 6 years ago. Almost 7 years ago, my brother died by suicide. And he was the first person I really knew that died by suicide. I felt like I was on an island, you know. I have really great friends that were supportive. But I just wasn't really sure how to handle my feelings, you know, feeling guilty or feeling like there was something I could have done. And so the year after he passed, I started going to it's called the Out of the Darkness Walk. It's held in Liverpool each year. And I felt, while I didn't really talk to many people the first year, I sort of felt like it was, you know, everybody here knows my feelings. Like, they understand the guilt that I had. They understood, you know, just everything that I was feeling, the loneliness, not feeling like I really had many people to talk to, you know, about it. And so the following year I asked her if I could help out in some way. And I started just like by grabbing some raffle baskets for the walk. And 3 years ago, the director was retiring and we played phone tag a little bit. And, you know, when she called, I'm like, gosh, why is she calling? I just show up with my raffle baskets every year. And she must want something. So she called and asked me to take over the walk. And I was like, oh, she must not know I have kids. Oh my God. I have three kids. There's no way I can do this. And, but I felt like it was like, give me a week, because I promised myself that when my brother died, I would make him proud. And I would help people in some way. And I was like, this is like being handed to me. I could help so many people. How could I turn this down? And, you know, my husband was like, you really need one more thing to do? Like, we have three kids. And I'm like, yep, but I think you know me. And I just, I'm not saying no to this. Like, I can't. And so I did it. And I've been the director for the walk ever since. And it's amazing. This past year, I was trained also to teach programs for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to both adults and children. So I was trained to do that. I do a lot of community outreach, you know, doing tabling events, but talking about, I think it's huge sharing my story. So many people that I don't even know will come up to me at a tabling event and just start telling me that they are super depressed and they've struggled with depression their whole life, or they lost their husband or their brother or their dad. And, you know, this person that I don't even know, just they see, oh, wow, she works, you know, with suicide prevention. She understands me, and they feel like they can talk about it. And that's huge. So in November, I joined the board for AFSP in Central New York as well. And I've sort of made it my mission, you know, in my school district. I'm a school teacher as well. So I've made it my mission there to, you know, make sure that there's things being done for suicide prevention in schools, in the community. And so, you know, it's crazy, but it's so rewarding, you know, doing
this. That's amazing what you're doing. And, you know, I've done a couple of walks with my family, and, you and I have had some discussions. I've worked in 911. We deal with suicide quite often, unfortunately, and I've had personal close friends also commit the act of suicide, and it hits you deep, man. It is one of the worst things to have to go through after somebody committed suicide. It's almost like you didn't. I know the biggest problem I had with my friend is I didn't see the signs, and that bothered me forever. It still bothers me. Like, how did I not see this coming? And, you know, I've struggled with it myself over the years, and I know you and I have talked, and
yeah,
it's crazy. I don't even know where to go with it.
Right. It's hard for people to reach out. And I think there's so much, I don't, you know, now I do not blame myself at all. Mm-hmm. And looking back, my brother did show some signs. But a lot of them, you know, I'm never going to find a job. I'll never get married. And I was like, yeah, dude, I said that too. Like, look at me now, living the dream, you know, it's going to be fine. And, you know, I thought it was just, oh, he had graduated college. Everybody has some reservations, you know?
Yeah.
And there was, you know, there was a time I called, my middle brother, and I said, like, hey, I just got this phone call from a friend. I'm really worried about Chris. Like, she's worried. You know, he won't kill himself, right? And my middle brother was like, oh my God, no, you're so anxious. I'm like, all right, you know, and there were signs, but I just really wasn't, I didn't know it was acceptable to ask somebody if they're thinking about suicide. I didn't know, you know, it just wasn't in my skill set. And so, you know, the biggest thing, like when I teach programs, I always, parents to students, I tell them, like, it is okay to directly ask if somebody's thinking about suicide. Because, you know, it's not, years ago, it used to be like, well, if you say that, you might give them that idea. And that's not how it works, you know? It's just really important. And I always tell people, it's okay to ask, you know, and then calmly, you can figure it out together.
Right. That's one of our, you know, when we take an L1 call, we actually, even if it's a first party call, meaning I'm talking to the person that's calling, maybe not feeling right. One of the questions is, are you feeling like you want to commit suicide? We straight up ask them.
Right.
But it's hard to tell over the phone, you know, you can't see their reaction. You can't tell if, you know, it's one dimensional. You're only listening to them. So you have to hear it in their voice. And you can tell, I'm telling you right now, from a 911 dispatch point of view, you can tell when somebody maybe isn't really going to commit suicide, and you can tell when somebody is right there and ready. And unfortunately, a lot of times, by the time the ambulance or fire department gets there, it's already done. And we've had situations right over the phone. you know, where you hear it. You hear it in their voice. You can tell this is the real deal. It's the problem I've always had at work is I feel helpless. You know, when you get that caller, you feel helpless because A, you don't know them. They're a complete stranger to you. So you don't know their background and you don't know, all you have is that voice and kind of gauge where they are mentally at that moment. And I wish we knew, and you and I had this talk before, I wish we knew a better way or how to somehow just have these superpowers to figure out what the hell is going on or how can I reach to the phone and just hug this person and make them know that it's okay and we're here to help and you know, get them the help that they need. That's the toughest part from my perspective when dealing with these.
Right, but, I'm sure.
It's crazy. I mean, we talked about it before. You never know truly, like you might think you know, but you never know what people are going through. And everybody reacts to certain things differently. And we carry things with us differently. So something might happen to me that you might brush off. But for me, I'm thinking about it every single day of my life and it's weighing on me over time. And it's that mental health aspect. So, you know, at Five Star, we obviously, since we've been open, have been all about physical health and whatnot. And then since we've connected, you've taught us so much about how important the mental health side is and how we need to understand that and work on that just as much as we work on the physical health. So, I mean, I think this is super important. And, you know, it's just, it's just a part of what everybody needs. And especially right now, you know, I know for a fact, just like I just said, we're all going to handle this situation differently. We all have different struggles. So I might be home and worried about X, Y, and Z, but love these other things. To where somebody else, their worries are much different. I mean, we spoke, one of our students, that was the mom is a salon owner. So I'm just thinking about how tough it is for me right now, stressing about the businesses and such. I can't imagine if you're, I mean, we're shut down, obviously, but we can do stuff online. You can't cut hair online. You can't do somebody's makeup online. You can't even try to go virtual with this. So, you know, thinking about her struggles and how she was talking about having to pull the kids out of karate and whatnot, we had a conversation about that. But her struggles are different than our struggles. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's going through something, and everybody handles it so much differently and carries it different. You don't know. You know, sometimes the person with the biggest smile on their face is the person who is hurting the most and needs somebody to reach out to them.
That's one of the things.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
One of the things, you know, when I teach some of the programs is like there's so many risk factors and you can't see them. You know, you might know about a big traumatic event in somebody's life, but you might not know that, you know, mental illness runs in their family. So they might have, you know, they're predisposed to something. And, you know, I think that's the hard part. There's so many things that you can't see about somebody that you don't know. Like you might know, you know, and a lot of people ask me when my brother died, well, is it because he didn't have a girlfriend? Or is it because of this? There's never one reason. It's not. We're all like, we are resilient enough to survive one bad thing happening to us, but it's typically like a perfect storm of things, you know, and it could include a history of mental health. And, you know, so a lot of people know about one event or one thing that happened, maybe losing a job or, you know, but what they don't see is the family history attached to it or all these other things that, you know, could be related.
Yeah. I think what people don't understand is, you know, we've all experienced trauma in our life. And I think that how people perceive what that trauma is and how that affects people moving on in their life, right? And so I always like to educate, you know, I mean, I come from the education world, so I always like to educate our educators on kind of that, you know, trauma-informed approach, like, you know, not what's wrong with you, but what has happened to you and how can I help you, right? Because I think when we come from that approach, we can understand people's perspectives, right? Because your trauma, right, like maybe losing a grandparent to you was not as traumatic as another child losing a grandparent, because that grandparent was their everything, right? And so if kids do not heal from a traumatic experience, they get stuck in that place and they're not able to heal and move on, and they carry that. And we all have different lenses in which we see things. And so if we carry that and we can't heal from that and move on, I think that those things kind of compound, and then you add the mental illness and you add these experiences of what's happening like in our world right now, and kids can't carry that, and they have lack of coping skills. I know that we've had these conversations before, Timmy, right? Like, you know, not kids all have access to karate or, you know, adults that are good influences for them. Some kids are going home by themselves. They don't have enough to eat, right? And so they go home to, you know, homes in which, you know, there's drugs and violence, and, you know, there's a lot of things that kids are really struggling with. And, you know, one of the things being a school social worker is that I find a really fine line in the high school setting is trying to explain to educators that it's not my story to tell. Like, I could walk into a teacher and be like, here's a kid's background. I'm not looking for pity, right? That's that child's story to tell. And so how do you kind of mesh those two together, right? Because I want them to be able to see the kid holistically, and to give them I want adults to engage with kids to heal, right? I think you guys get it, because you guys engage with kids all the time, but it's not my place to tell the kid's story, right? It's kind of, I think it's all about engaging and, you know, connecting.
Do you find in the, you know, we're talking about mental health, and when we talk about regular health, right, you have illnesses and you have injury. And I feel like mental health, you have illnesses and you have injury. I feel like when things happen, I'll give an example. When we had a firefighter that killed himself, I feel like a lot of our other firefighters suffered from post-traumatic stress from that, because they responded to find, you know, one of their best friends, you know, in the driveway after he had killed himself. And we had some people really struggle after that. And I get confused with, can you mentally be injured? And can, or is it always an illness? And how is it diagnosed? And, you know, what is considered an illness and what is considered something that maybe we just need to, you know, somehow, you know, extricate out of our brains, you know, this event, and maybe once that's done, the person's healed, right? Like an injury. And where an illness seems like maybe you need a longer term care, or it's like Stacy said, it might be something built up in your DNA or something that has been a history in the family. And I can't, you know, when you look at a physical injury and you look at physical illness, it's very easy. Doctors can figure them out. Mental, it's hard to tell. Like you said, each kid has their own story, right? Mm-hmm. How do you know? And how much are the kids, you make a connection with them. How do you think you get 100% everything from them? Or do you feel maybe they hold some stuff back till they get, how does all that work? I'm so curious. Like, how do they completely, like if you pull somebody in, you're talking to them, do you have to like work to a comfort level before they really start opening up to you?
Yeah. It depends. I mean, I have kids that I've worked with for 4 years. I mean, those kids. And then I have other kids that will come in and tell me everything. I mean, too much stuff.
Like, yeah.
Too much stuff. Yeah. But definitely. I mean, you guys see it all the time. I mean, vicarious trauma. I mean, just kind of all the stuff that you see as a firefighter and, you know, 911, you know, I mean, and then unless you are addressing that, you know, there's a little bit, I mean, mental health is a stigma. And I think that, you know, getting help is a stigma in your field. You know what I mean? Like, you don't.
It sure is. Trauma, you don't want to show weakness. Right.
Right. Exactly. Right. So
that's huge. Mm-hmm. I think we're moving in the right direction. But it's slow. And, you know, Tim, you were saying like, how do you recognize, you know, it's easier to treat an illness, you know, for a doctor. And there's been a couple times I've been at the doctor, or I had a minor medical procedure last summer, and even going in for the surgery, you know, I went in for my pre-op appointment, and they asked me, you know, have you been crying more than normal? Do you feel like you want to hurt yourself? Do you have thoughts of suicide? And when she first asked me, the woman was like, okay, so these questions I have to ask, okay? So, and afterwards I said, you know what, I'm really glad that you're asking that, because my brother died by suicide, and about 40% of people who die by suicide visit a doctor or a hospital within 30 days of their death. But wow. They don't all say, I'm thinking of suicide, you know, so many people will go to the doctor and maybe say, I have trouble sleeping, or, you know, and it's not like, if they're not connecting it to suicide or to depression, you know, so.
Do you think they get scared? Do you think they go in there with every intention to say, like, listen, doc, I want to kill myself. And then when the doctor comes in, they just say, I'm just not, I mean, do you think because of the stigma we're talking about, do you think that is like all this pressure that they just cannot come to the terms of releasing to a professional?
Yeah. I mean, I think it can be for some, and I think some people might not really know it. Like, mm-hmm. they might not be to the point of suicidal thoughts yet, but they might be, you know, I can't sleep. It's been days since I slept. It's been, you know, and the longer you go with these symptoms and it's not getting better, the more, you know, critical it becomes. And so it might not necessarily be that they're thinking of it at that time, you know, or maybe they've just had one or two thoughts and they're hoping it, oh, maybe I shouldn't tell my doctor. I know, and I've had students when I teach programs who will come up and say, I don't want to tell anybody because I'm scared they'll send me away. Mm-hmm. You know, do I have to stay in a hospital? Do I have to? And I think people are scared.
Are you labeled? Like, once you do that, are you labeled, right?
Right. You know, and how will the doctor react? And I think it's important too, you know, a lot of times, well, you're not thinking of suicide, are you? I've heard people ask it that way. You can't ask it in a negative way. If you say, you know, that makes it sound like, well, what if I am?
Yeah.
Well, I better not say that. So I think, you know, and people might go in with intentions of saying that. And depending on how it's asked, they're like, oh, well, that he made it sound like, it, you know, that could be negative if I said yes. So I'll just say no.
Right. Let me, so coming kind of full circle to what we're dealing with now, and this question is kind of for both you guys, because I know you guys are both professionals at what you do, and you might have the same exact answer, maybe a different answer, but coming full circle. So right now we're talking a lot about the kids, and I love that. And I know we'll get a little bit into the parents as well with what we're going through right now. So the parents are going through stress, of course. There's a million reasons why we're going through stress. Now, the kids are going through this whole shakeup too. Like, I know specific kids, you know, in the martial arts classes that if we had them line up and instead of facing the mirrors, we had them face the back wall, their whole day is ruined. Their whole class is ruined. And that's just by turning them 180 degrees. So now you take kids out of their normal environment. You get on the bus at 7 in the morning. You get to school. You do your regimen. Their world has been flipped upside down. Now they're at home, they're trying to learn from a computer, and like you guys said earlier, not all of them even have access to that. But on top of that, mom and or dad or a grandma, whoever, they're at home now trying to help with school, something that they might not know what they're doing. So they're stressed, the kids can feel it. All of this kind of, in a way, snowballs down that hill right to the child. They can feel that. They already have it, and now I would imagine they can feel that from their parents. Is there anything that we should be doing as parents? Anything more that we should be doing as parents? Anything we should be looking out for as parents? Or just kind of watching out for our kids, maybe a way that they're acting or thinking or saying things? Or even on our end, is there something that we should be doing or making sure that we're not saying or acting like in front of our kids? Does that make sense? Do you guys know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it can be. I have my middle child is, he has some anxiety, and when things are thrown off, like if I make him do art when it is not an art day, it is like the end of the world.
That's my Michael too. Michael,
it's crazy.
Does the same thing.
Yeah, it's like I don't have art on Tuesdays. I'm like, right, we don't have anything right now, so just sit down and do it. And he's like, but it's not enough. I'm like, okay, and. I think you have to figure out what works for your kid, you know, but I know establishing a schedule at home can be huge. You know, and some kids don't need one, and that's okay. If that's working for your family, I think that's great. But I think that we're still going to get up at, you know, or maybe you let them sleep in a little bit and say 7:30 to 8 is breakfast. And then, you know, then you start that way and still give them like that. Well, this is what happens at this time. So it's expected. And, you know, that took us for a little while, you know, even with karate, I'm flying in there at the last second because I forgot about it. And he's like, oh my God, I'm going to be late. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to like get on a schedule for me, because it's just keeping all the Zooms for everybody straight. It's like, and I have to write it out, you know, and I think it can really help. I know kids, some kids are still using their agendas to keep track of their Zoom conferences, to keep track of what work they have due, right. You know, so keeping that sort of a schedule would be super helpful for a lot of kids, you know, even if they're not anxious, but I think that's huge. And I think for parents, it's really important to give yourself some grace right now. Because, you know, the first few weeks I was trying to teach preschool, first grade and fourth grade, as well as my own students, all at the same time. We were all going to sit at the table from 9 to 3. It was going to be perfect. You know, I got this. I'm a teacher. And I was like crashing and burning for 2 weeks. And I mean, meltdowns, you know, 10 minutes after we started, everybody's hungry and needs breakfast. And it was like, it was just a huge shit show. Okay. And so, and I was like, I kept panicking, like, well, my preschooler is going to go to kindergarten not knowing how to write his name. You know, my fourth grader is going to the middle school. She's not going to know how to do fraction. Like, and I was panicking. I'm like, look, I can do what I can do. It's not going to be 6 hours with each kid. I can tell you that for certain. Mm-hmm. And I now sort of learned, and I'm staggering my kids. So I'm not answering all their questions at once. I'm doing like one kid at a time with maybe some small overlaps, but yeah. I think it's really important for parents to give yourself some grace. I mean, every kid in America will be, if you want to call it behind, you know, they're all in the same boat. So if you don't get through everything, it's okay.
I think that we need to remember that this is not homeschooling. This is a pandemic and we are remote learning, right? We're doing the best that we can. I think that, you know, obviously you have to take into account the age of the kids, right? So I think to some extent, give the kids some autonomy in helping develop that routine. Like, because I think that then they take some ownership in that. Like, what does your schedule need to look like? What do you think that it can be like? You know what I mean? Because then I think that they're going to have some ownership in that. I also think checking in with them, like, where are they at? Like, I love to give kids kind of like a scale, like where, you know, 10 is like, you're like not in a good place. Like 1, you're great. 5 in the middle. Kids love that. And like checking in, like, where are you at today? Like, are you in a good place? Not in a good place. And they can gauge that, you know, some kids just kind of need to, and then knowing what their coping skills are when they're not in it, like practicing that when they're in a good place. Cause we expect kids to use those coping skills when they're in a bad place. They can't do that. Right. Or if they're feeling anxious, we're like, okay, use that coping skill. They don't have the ability when they're at a full fledged 10 to use a coping skill and come down. Right. So be like, well, if you were feeling anxious, what could you do? What are things that you're good at? Oh, you like to, you know, listen to music, or you like to dance. Let's do those things. So it's practice, right? Just like they come to karate and practice to get better, right? You just don't go to a, I'm totally not a karate person. You just don't go and do whatever. That's sorry. Right. I'm an
you're
asshole.
You're right though. You're right. You're right.
But
you're
100% right. I know I'm right. I'm always right. God damn it. Anyways. So you have to practice those things, and you know, not just when things are bad. And also, I mean, think about, you know, exercise, they have to exercise all the time. Our body releases all the good chemicals, right? And so when they're doing that, and I think that that's really important. When you see kids starting to withdraw, you know, I have a son, you know, Jacob 16, he would sit on Minecraft all day if I let him. I need to kick him. I mean, I literally bought the kid a golf membership as soon as it opened, because I was like, you'll go golf 18 rounds by yourself. Yeah. That's better than not, right? Best $300 I've ever spent.
Has he been going? He's been golfing?
Oh my God. Oh yeah. He loves it.
Boy.
He loves the golf and workout. So, So I just think that to keep that in mind a little bit and the things that are good for them and to know what their coping skills are and ask them what their coping skills, like, what do you do to make yourself feel better? Right. And, you know, I want to go back a little bit to like identifying, you know, asking, I think it's so important to ask people like, you know, are you feeling suicidal? I think people are so afraid to do that. I think that we don't educate our staff at West Genesee really well. Like, I have teachers all the time, like, I think that they wrote something scripted. Can you talk to them? Like, ask them, like, you know, people are so like afraid of that. And, yeah. You know, we also at CPEP, we do the Columbia Suicide Assessment Scale. And one of the things that we also
What is that?
It's a suicide assessment, you know, asking, you know, do you have a plan? Mm-hmm. You know, how often do you think of it? And then we also do two foreseeable changes, asking somebody, tell me something that what would your life look like that was really bad that would make you want to kill yourself again, mm-hmm. you know, to get to this point, you know, because, and then what would you do if you were feeling like that? You want them to be able to plan for when life maybe might fall apart again, right? And so, because life isn't perfect, right? You're going to, you may fall apart or you may become in crisis again, and you want them to have the skills for if that happens again. And so you get them to think like, oh, well, if I had a fight with my boyfriend, or if my mom took my cell phone away or my Xbox, right? Something like, you know, I'm seeing a lot of kids that happens, like, wow, they took the internet away, or that's the end of the world, right? So I just think that being able to plan for the worst and giving them those coping skills.
That's huge. And, you know, we talk about it a lot. Life is not easy. Life is, quite often, it's a struggle. And it's important to have those coping skills. And I think you have to have a healthy mental state to be able to cope with any of this stuff, right? And if you aren't taking care of your mental wellness, then you're not going to have those coping skills. And you may have struggles just doing the very basic things, organization skills, whatever it is, if you're not mentally healthy, your sleep's going to be affected, your eating's going to be affected, and everything starts to break down, and that creates, you know, the inability to cope with anything thrown at you. And something that may seem small to your eye may be the thing that actually pushes this person to the edge.
Right. I mean, sometimes it's okay to not be okay, but when you are not able to function for a long period of time, you need to seek help. You need to reach out, right? And so what does that look like?
I think, too, it's important for kids, even my preschooler, like he has, he made it out of a plate and it has like, it looks sort of like a clock and he has the feelings. I'm frustrated. I'm excited. I'm, you know, and even from a young age, kids need to be able to know, just like start having those conversations, you know, even each night during COVID, like, you know, what are the different things you felt today? Were you frustrated? Were you sad? Were you angry? You know, how do you feel about COVID? Are you angry about it? Are you sad about it? What are some good things? Like, you know, like to talk about, right, to talk about your feelings. So yeah. Kids feel comfortable and they know they can come to you. And I think even with teenage, you know, I teach 8th and 9th grade. I think even for them, sometimes they're not really sure if they're sad or pissed off or, you know, so even just to start teaching, like, well, that sounds like you're angry about that rather than sad, you know, just to, and it's okay. Like so many kids are missing out on things right now. It's okay to be sad about it.
Right.
But what made you happy today?
That's important. And I have an 8th grader and I have not asked those questions to him. I've just tried to make the environment that we're in as comfortable as possible. So right. You guys are teaching me. So I'm going to have that conversation. I'm going to ask him, you know.
I love it.
I think Absolutely. It's important. And I never even thought of that. That's the thing, right? I work every day in emergency services. I just never thought to ask because I come home and I'm like, man, the world is a tough place out there and it is safe here. And, you know, my son, I don't want to be exposed to some of the stuff that we deal with on a daily basis at 911, right? So I come home and I think everything's fine. So I haven't had that conversation when everything may not be fine with him. So that's huge. Thank you, both of you. Those are great points. So what are we seeing now? We're 60, coming on 60 days into this. And let's just say we go another 60 days. What can you guys project anything? Can you, where are we as far as a society, as far as the kids, and as far as our mental health is now? Stacey,
well,
smiling.
I just want to, I'm smiling because this is so funny because I can literally feel my blood pressure raising when you're talking about another 60 days here. Right. I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
And so I know this, I have anxiety and it can get moderate to severe, but that is one of the things that I know for me, I have to stay in the present. I don't want to, I can't count how many more days, like yes, there are some things but when I think about going back to school in September, are we going to be wearing masks? Are we even going to be back in September? Like that's when my anxiety starts creeping up. Like, you know, I have to, for me,
maybe that's the best choice for all of us. Maybe we need to just 1 minute at a time, day to day, be in the present. And what happens, happens. And as we're, you know, confronted with obstacles or whatever new challenges, we deal with them then. I think that's huge. Maybe we shouldn't be looking towards.
I know, like our school district, I'm on a committee, you know, to help with the mental health. And we're starting to now think about what reentry looks like. Right. And they are planning ahead. They're also planning ahead for a possible shutdown again in the fall, you know, or late fall. And they are, I think, what we're going to be dealing with, we're going to be dealing with a lot of trauma when we come back, because this is traumatic for almost everybody, you know, in some way, whether it's you,
sure,
parents who lost their jobs, or, you know, it's trauma in some way. And I think we're going to have a lot of that to deal with. When kids come back. And I think it's really important. I know my district in particular is working on some trauma-informed practice stuff for teachers, because not every teacher, you know, my co-teacher and I feel are very well-versed with trauma and what it looks like and, you know, how to help students that have been through trauma, but not every teacher does. And, you know, so
I don't think a lot of people know.
And how much it can actually affect a kid. You know, the kid who you say, oh, he's not doing anything in my class. Mm-hmm. There might be some reasons for that, you know? So
sure.
I think we're going to have to deal with that a lot, but.
Tim, that you asked that question and then like you could see Stacey. So for anybody who's listening to the podcast, so the way we've been doing them now is we're doing them on Zoom so we can all see each other while we're doing this. So like she said that her blood pressure was rising. Like you could see it. she was anxious.
I'm glad I said 60 and not 90 days.
I don't say that to pick on you because I think the majority of people are like that, and I didn't realize that necessarily. So you guys know my personality. I always try to find the positives. Like that's just what I do. So like there was a Governor Cuomo was doing one of his things maybe a month back. I don't know. And on the bottom of the screen, it said like this could last another 12 to 18 months, right? And I was like, oh man. So I put a post on Facebook. So I'm like, all right, like.
Oh, I know what post you're talking about. Right. Oh my God.
Way to go, Paul.
There was a group message about that, by the way.
So I'm not surprised. So I'm like, so because to me, I'm like, all right, man. So like, listen, with the businesses and such, obviously, we all have our own stresses. And I talked last week a little bit about Stephanie's stresses with the nursing, how, you know, we're trying to prepare so much for this that a lot of nurses are now laid off because the hospitals are empty unless you're a COVID unit or COVID center. Anyhow, that's a whole different thing. So we all have our different stresses and whatnot. And trust me, like, I feel it. Like, I'm there. I can't tell you how many students that we have lost, how much income that we've lost. What I've had to do, you guys know my financial situation. So I promise you, I have all the stresses. But on the flip side, I'm like, damn, like my kids are home every day. Like I love seeing my kids. I love, and I know y'all do, but I love being with my kids. I love playing Xbox with my boys. I like playing basketball. Like, so to me, I'm like, guys, is school over yet? Are you guys done? Can we go outside and play?
Like, we play.
So I put a post out there like, if this is to happen for the next 12 months, what is going to stress you out? And what are you excited about? Bam, my Facebook has never lit up. Unless I put a picture up of Stephanie. My Facebook has never lit up like that before. It's like pop, pop, pop. And almost all of them were like, excited? What the hell are you smoking? I ain't excited about nothing. This needs to stop. Like, I was like, oh, man. Like, I hit a nerve, and I didn't mean to. I was trying to get people to look at the positive. Like, hey, it is what it is. You can only control so much. We are being told that we have to do things a certain way. So you can only control so much. And in that setting, with what you can control, what are you excited about? And man, people were not excited. But anyways.
I could read between the lines a little. I could see what you were getting at. But at the same time, I was like, oh my God, did you guys just see what Paul posted? He said 12 to 18 months. Is he kidding me right now? I can't even respond.
It was a hypothetical.
Right, but like right now, you want to do a hypothetical.
I was jacked up. I thought I had lots of Xbox time and got to play basketball.
It's like he has got to be kidding.
Man.
I'm surprised you didn't get a lot of hate mail.
Back to that comes on the fan mail part of our podcast. That's coming up next.
Yeah, yes, that is coming up. We are doing that today. What are some of the signs and symptoms we can be looking out for with our kids or with our family members? I know we hit on feeling sad or feeling nervous. Are there any other things like medically that we should be looking out for?
Medically?
Or, you know, no.
I mean, I would definitely, if they're like socially isolating themselves, that's like definitely number one, especially older kids, right? Like, or if they're like crying a lot, that's another one. Self-harm, if you see kids we've seen a lot of increased self-harm. We've seen a lot of overdoses in adolescents lately as well. So I think that's another real big one.
I know for me, I when I Zoom with my students, like I've seen a couple of them that every time we Zoom, they're sitting in their bedroom with their light off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, have you been outside at all lately? Like, you know, get outside. What's going on? You know, and that will trigger me to call somebody or text them and be like, hey, like you can't sit in your dark room. Are you in like, is that where you're sitting all day long in your room with your light off? Like,
you're not eating, you know? Not showering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a 13-year-old boy. That's a problem of its own.
But you know what? If it's always a problem, it's not as much. You shouldn't be as alarmed, you know, if it's you know, my kid never wants to brush his teeth, but that's not really a change.
To take a shower. I'm like, all right, Nate, I'll throw an extra $1 and you go take a shower.
Just wait for another year. And then he's in the shower for like 45 minutes.
I don't want to know about that. I don't want to know what's going on.
Paul Anthony takes all the hot water, man. He will just stand in the shower. And he's 11. He just stands in the shower, just sits there in the hot water. I'm like, man. Paul, are you done? No, not yet. Are you almost done? No, I just got to use the soap. What the hell are you doing? It's been a half an hour.
That's Luca too. And he'll do it like twice a day. We have that, I think it's called like on-demand hot water. Is that what it's called?
Wow. Okay, I've heard of it.
It's like basically your hot water is not supposed to run out.
Yeah, you don't have a hot water tank.
Thank God, right, it's like the tankless.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's really cool. Like if I ever upgrade my house, that's what I'm going to go to. It's called a tankless. Now. It's called tankless hot water.
Yeah.
So you don't have a hot water thing. Just you always have hot water.
Right. That'd be horrible, actually, because I would never get out of the shower.
I know.
Well, that's Luca.
Anyway. Yeah. Why nobody takes baths anymore?
You know what? Work? I do. Like since I've been home, I take baths a lot more.
I think that could help. That could help us all mentally. Just relax.
Hot tub.
Yeah.
Do you see
get some of the
we
Epsom
use the hot
salt.
Tub more than a bath, but
oh yeah, you have a hot tub. Yeah. All right, Gail, I'm gonna be in your hot tub tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Don't be alarmed.
Don't be there, so we're social distancing.
Yes. I'll have my mask on.
I figured it out that my hot tub diagonally is 7.5 feet, so I could have one person come over and go in my hot tub. They get in first or I'll get in first, then you know, we just take turns.
Well, after this podcast, you're going to have like a sign up list.
Man. Awesome. So just some stats I took from your, the website, Stacy. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the US in 2017, 47,173 Americans died by suicide. There was
It's second leading cause of death for teenagers,
right.
Which is even more
that.
Scary.
Yeah, I hate hearing that. 1.4 million suicide attempts, and That's just crazy looking at some of these statistics. If you are in a crisis, if you do feel like you need to talk to somebody, call 1-800-273-8255, or you can text talk to 741-741. Please reach out. If you're listening to this and maybe you're, you know, been having some thoughts or whatever, understand that you're not alone and there are resources out there to help you. There is no stigma and we are all here. We love you and we want you to get the help that you need. So make sure you reach out. Stacy, the website is afsp.org, correct?
That is correct. And we actually have, if you're interested in the Out of the Darkness walk, it's afsp.org/Syracuse.
Okay.
And all my information is on there as well. If you'd like to help out, volunteer, you know, just become more involved with the AFSP chapter in this area. And I do want to say it is important for people to know, like, if you're going to text that 741-741, it doesn't have to be a crisis situation where you're like, I want to die tonight. You know, it can be a situation that is, you know, I'm just struggling. I'm struggling with things with COVID. I lost my job. I just want to talk it out with somebody. And you can text or call for that as well. It doesn't have to be crisis scenario.
That's huge. Gail, any other things from like the hospital, CPAP, that, you know, if anybody needed to go to CPAP, do they take walk-ins? How's that work?
Absolutely. All the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We never close. If you're feeling bad, just need to come talk to somebody. Yep. You don't need to, you know, yeah, always.
Do you guys have a message for the kids? I know you're both in the schools.
Yeah, I think it's important just that they know that they're not alone. If they're stressed, adults are stressed too, but it's something, this will end. And we will be able to see our friends and they just have to hang in there.
Perfect.
Yeah. Connect to an adult. Yeah, just connect to an adult that you trust. And I know that there's somebody that wants to talk to you and we're going to get through this somehow.
You guys are awesome. We really appreciate you for coming on and talk. This is a tough subject, man. This is, you know, Paul and I try to keep these podcasts kind of light and fun. You can't with this. You have to be tough with this. And this is a very serious topic. And we need to talk more about it.
The more we talk about it, the more people speak up.
We need to talk more about it, 100%. And we need to do more about it. And whatever it takes is, you know, whether it's getting more legislation involved, whatever it is, you know, if you guys are involved in any of that, let us know and we'll throw it out there to everyone we know and send letters to support it or whatever we need to do, because we do need to do more with mental wellness. Did I say hellness? It is hell because it's hell, man.
Sometimes.
Mental wellness, right? Paul Yang.
I got it, guys. I mean, I know Tim just said it, but couldn't appreciate you guys more sharing your expertise and giving just a couple pointers. So one of the things I love about doing these is that there's always like 3 to 5 things that people can take away from just listening to this. And, you know, just the pointers that you guys gave makes perfect sense, whether it's doing the schedule, whether it's having the kids involved in the schedule, you know, and you said it best, Stacy. You sent that card in the brownies, which were fantastic, by the way. It said you've already survived 100% of your worst days or something to that effect. I love it. And it's spot on. You've already survived 100% of your worst days, no matter what your worst day was. And we've all had different ones. I guarantee it. I know this group. I know we've all had different worst days and you've survived them all. So appreciate you guys so much. Happy Mother's Day to you both.
I hope you
guys enjoy your Mother's Day. And if you don't get anything, don't blame your husbands. I mean, what are you going to do? We're locked down. The kids aren't making anything at school. But we appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
We may
much.
Have to do a lot of coupons this year. You know how you make the coupons? Free massage, free whatever.
Boys did that for Steph's birthday. Steph's birthday was the 20th of February. They just did that.
Oh, Michael's did they?
One of Michael's coupons will leave the room when I fart. So, hey.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Not me, because we all know I don't do that. Not me when he does it. But,
that is so anyways, awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Man.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Hey, so definitely. Guys, really appreciate you again. We have some questions, Paul.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people we asked people to send us questions. We have questions.
Wow.
You ready? Got? Here's the first one. And I love this question.
I can't believe you didn't prep me on the questions, but that's all right. Maybe next time.
I don't know.
Prep me.
This is the best part. I want to prep you. I know what the question is, but you don't. Watch his reaction when I read it to him.
Give it to me.
All right. The first one is from Anna. And Anna says, how do you make a change in your life? Like, for example, moving, especially when you really don't have the support from your friends and family backing you up.
Boom. I love that question. Is that the whole question or is there more?
That's the question. And she goes a little further and says, families and friends can sometimes tear you down and make you feel bad in the process.
Yes. So here's the thing. This is my opinion. My opinion is you have to do you. And no matter what you do in life, there are going to be people that hopefully support you, but there will be a lot of people who, or at least some people, who don't support you. And they might not want to see you fail, but they want to tell you, I told you so. And you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You know, this isn't exactly moving. The story I'm about to tell you is it isn't about moving, but it's similar about doing you what is important to you. When we first opened the karate studio back in 2010, and we are in the same location now that we opened up back then, I was excited. And I'll tell you right now, I had a lot of people, almost everybody told me I was nuts. I made good money at my job. The sky was the limits at my job. I had a very good reputation with what I was doing and the people I was with. But I wanted to teach karate. I wanted to change the world. It's what I wanted to do. And as soon as I went to do it, all of a sudden, all these people who are my friends and some of my family were telling me how nuts I am. You're making good money. You work this job, these hours. You're going to give all of that up to teach karate. But that's what I wanted to do. So I had to focus on me and focus on what was important to me and what was important to my family. And I'm telling you right now, I had a lot of people telling me how dumb I was and how it's not going to work. And I called one of my best friends, obviously true story, called one of my best friends and I said, hey, Rob, listen to this. We're right up the street from you in the Sugarwood Plaza. We just opened our karate studio, man. You got to come check it out. He's like, Paul, I've been living here. He lived over in like Wild Creek. Is that the name of that neighborhood?
Yep.
And he goes, Paul, I've been living here my whole life. I already saw the first seven that failed there. It was the end of our conversation. I didn't even know what to say to him. I'm like, oh, but like this one's mine. Basically, he's saying, it ain't going to work, dude. People have already been there and they've already failed. So, and this is a really like somebody who I was really good friends with. And, you know, I don't think he knew how much he was tearing me down, but man, he was. But you know what? What I wanted for my life and for my family and the vision I had of where I was going to be someday, it was teaching karate and doing this. So if it's moving, so specifically you said moving, you got to think about your vision, what you want, and don't let anybody – there's going to be plenty of people trying to tell you you're wrong and not to do it, but you have to do you. That's my opinion.
I agree 100%. Listen, you are going to piss a lot of people off when you start doing what's best for you. And I don't know why that happens, but that happens.
Oh, it certainly does.
Oh my God. Stop explaining yourself. People only understand from their level or their perception. And you know what? If you don't like where you are, move. Move. You are not a tree. Move. Period. That's what I got.
You have to do you.
You have to do you. And
surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up and not bring you down. I mean, there's churches and organizations, and obviously sometimes even family cannot lift you up, right?
Absolutely.
So let the negativity motivate you.
Right. It's tough, especially when it's coming from the people that are closest to you. You know, that's the toughest thing is you know, you look for that support from your parents or whoever it is. Could be
a
sibling.
You want to make people proud. You want to make them proud.
Right.
And when you don't have that feeling, Tim, just like you're saying, man, like it's, you feel like you're being stepped on. You're like, man, well, I'm trying to make these people proud, and you don't have that support from your family specifically, that's tough.
It's huge, right? So I, like you said, you got to do you. All right, next question. Here we go. Oh. These are anonymous questions.
Oh, that's an option?
Yeah.
that's an option.
This is from Miss Anonymous.
This is anonymous.
Miss Anonymous, if you're out there listening, this is your question.
It's a Miss Anonymous, so you know who it is.
Miss Anonymous.
Oh, all right. Give it to
is
me.
Is the name. Okay. And the question is, what do you think spin boxing classes will be like when we are allowed to go back to five-star? Will we be required to wear a mask while working out? Will you limit class sizes to allow for social spin boxing? And do you think you will still have Zoom classes as an option even when you're allowed to open back up? Good questions.
Boom. Great questions. Miss Anonymous.
Stop thinking about who it is and just answer.
All right. So to answer the question, we have a plan in place, both for the martial arts and for spin boxing. And what we are going to have to do is limit the amount of people that are in class. We're also going to do our best to try to create a specific flow so that you are entering one way and exiting another way. So right now we limit classes at 40. And the average class is probably closer to 18, but you'll have a banging class of 36. You'll have a small class of 5. We're going to have to limit the classes. My number in my head is to about 10 people. And we're going to have the bikes spread out, so there is that social distancing. And we're going to have the bags spread out, so there is that social distancing. And that we're going in a specific flow to from our bikes to our bags. And such. As far as the masks, unfortunately, I have to go by whatever our governor tells us. So if he tells us that we have to wear masks, then we have to wear masks. If he leaves it up to us, I'll have to think about it. And I will tell you right now, as far as the I don't love it as far as working out. I mean, I have a hard enough time going to get gas and like going into the gas station for a minute to pick up my breakfast pizza this morning and rocking it for like 5 seconds, pulling on my ears and thought I was going to pass out. But anyways.
Hey, but on the mask, question for you with the mask. Yeah. You know the mask some of the fighters wear when they're training for a fight? Those work?
Yeah, so I don't know if that'll work for this.
We should look into that.
I'd have to look into it. The point of those masks, though, it's actually going to make it harder for you to breathe.
Oh, people passing out.
Yeah, that's the point of those masks. So it changes your elevation or whatnot. So it makes it so it's harder for you to breathe so that you can feel that feeling before you get in the ring when you have your adrenaline dump and such. Okay. So I don't know if those masks would be great, but I actually looked at purchasing 5-star masks, getting a mask and then having our logo on it. Because, I mean, if you're going to rock a mask, it might as well look cool.
Yeah.
And they sent me back a mock-up, and they're pretty sweet, but I want to wear one first because I want to see how it feels. So to directly answer the question, we will have social distancing at least to start. We will have to limit class sizes. We will have to spread out classes a little bit more, I think, so we'll have extra time to clean. I believe that's going to be a rule and going to anyways, just to kind of keep peace of mind for everybody. We're going to try to create a specific flow. And as far as Zoom classes are concerned, 100% yes. I don't think that's ever going to go away. I have bigger plans than just Zoom that I can't get into right now. But this is going to be something that will be offered for everybody who's a 5-star member, I want to say forever. And again, I have a bigger vision, a way bigger vision than Zoom. But these type of online classes will continue to be available even when we reopen.
Love it.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Miss Anonymous. I'll keep thinking about that.
Miss Anonymous, there's your answer. We hope Paul answered it the way you wanted him to answer it. If not, send us another message, Miss Anonymous.
Send us some hate mail or something.
Some Paul hate mail. I only want love. That's all I want. I want to be loved.
I could deal with it. I'll deal with some hate mail.
You guys are awesome, man.
Is that our questions too?
That's it. That's all the questions. Sweet. Listen, we're still new at this. It's all questions. Maybe we'll get more questions next week.
We need more fans.
Send questions in.
Last week I put something on our, we have an Instagram page and a Facebook page, which are brand new. And
Are you on our Facebook page?
Me? Yeah.
And here's the problem with both of these is I'm trying to, like, I have no clue what I'm doing.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I did this thing on Instagram, like, oh, post a question. So I posted a question thinking you could just type in the question. That's not how, and none of it worked like that. That's not how any of this worked. None of it worked like that. It was like a comment below. So I'm learning, people. Give me a break.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
We're fine.
Whew. What else you guys want to talk about?
I got to eat dinner, bro.
I got to go eat too. Darn. You guys are awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us.
No, I love you guys. Listen, no,
I'd stay on here all night. I would talk about this until tomorrow. I really would. Because I think we only, you know, talk a very little bit about this.
The conversation doesn't happen enough. I think at 5-star.
It's the tip of the iceberg.
We've done a lot more than most people as far as having the conversation. Mm-hmm.
You guys do so much for mental health.
We appreciate that. And you lead that charge, which is phenomenal. Like, it's great to, it's important for our health, which is what we're all about. We're all about, you know, we deliver badass classes for your physical health. And as far as the mental health side of it, to me, it's you're clearing your mind, you're getting your you time, you know, that part helps with it. And I know that, but what you deliver and what you guys bring to things like this podcast, or when you're doing your meetings, or the Out of the Darkness walk, and everything that you're doing for that, I mean,
it's inspiring. Out of this world.
It is. It truly, truly is. So I appreciate you guys. So I assume we're ending here.
We are ending. So this is the end of
Copper Top downstairs.
Do you have Copper Top?
Yeah.
Can I come over and we can social distance?
Yeah, come get some.
So you're not doing your food journal anymore?
Oh, no, I'm doing my food dessert.
Paul gave up on his food journal.
It'll go right in the journal. It's a bacon Swiss chicken sandwich. Bacon Swiss chicken sandwich or something.
I hope Jessica's listening to this right now. You quit. You quit on the journal.
I didn't quit on the journal.
Let me see your journal.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you really journaling every day?
No, I was going to try to find one.
Did you put my brownies in your so-called journal?
No, because I didn't know what to add them in as, other than delicious heaven. I didn't see
homemade
it in the
awesome
listings.
Brownies.
Oh, phenomenal.
By
so,
Stacy.
I know that Tim's going to say it, so I'm just going to get right into it. We're going to end this podcast like we always do. You know, there's no better time than right now to really let us understand how much we're taking or how much we take for granted. The basics of just being able to go hang out with friends or walk through the grocery store. Think about things that maybe we take for granted in life that we're taking for granted even right now. Think about it, take action on it, and live every single day like it could be your last, because the truth is we never know. So live every single day like it could be your last day. Have fun and enjoy life.
We love you guys. Thanks for listening, and share this podcast, especially this one. If you know somebody that could benefit from our conversation tonight, please share this podcast with them. You know, if you're out there and you need help, again, call that number or check out the website that we put out here earlier. And I'll actually put it on the actual notes for this podcast, so it'll be there as well. And you guys have a great week. Live well, and we'll talk to you next week.